Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 9, 2019. Uniqueness of the Creator, Part 6. Attainment is in mutual connection. Question: in our world there is a spectrum of all sorts of feelings, for example, friendship or love. But in order to feel them, there must be someone else. I cannot feel love or friendship if there is no one besides myself. The same is true about the Creator. Is it the force that is felt in the right connection between other people? Answer: of course, it is felt on some material. I need interaction with other people, with a group. Question: is the Creator an abstract form that is impossible to be felt if it is not dressed in some material? Answer: yes. The Creator appears to me as a group of people who are connected by mutual love and mutual support. Then, the force that exists among them, not in each of them, but among them, can be called the Creator. Question: does it mean that the power of love does not exist outside the connection of several people? Answer: right. It does not exist. Question: Kabbalah says that the essence of the Creator is unattainable, as is the essence of all objects and phenomena in our world. What does his essence is unattainable mean? Answer: it is connected with the method of attainment. In fact, we do not attain anything as the thing in itself, but we can only attain something from our attitude to it. The gradual accumulation of positive or negative impressions that deter me or bring me closer to different objects that are supposedly outside of me, by integrating into me, enable me to feel how I build my organ of perception. From Cab TV's Basics of Kabbalah, December 10, 2018. Integrate in the 10, make space for the thought of creation. The thought of creation includes everything, even me, but I myself aspire to attain it. The Creator has given me this opportunity, as if he had created a white spot in me called the deficiency for the Creator. I develop this deficiency and direct it to the upper one. I confirm that indeed there is none else beside the Creator, and I myself am included in this concept. On my part, I do not want to change anything in the entire reality. I only want to attain the Creator, to connect with the thought of creation. This means adhesion with the Creator. The more efforts we put into this, the more we develop, change forms, advance along the axis of time. All kinds of changes will take place in us, and we will feel that we are beginning to take His form. This is like in our world: by getting closer to a person, we gradually adopt his habits and tastes. This is how we begin to take the form of the Creator, to adopt his thought, and it becomes ours. This is how we reach adhesion with him. The Creator created the thought and we are part of it, included in it. Besides, he gave us the opportunity to reformat ourselves in likeness to this thought and thus be included in the Creator. This thought enters us as if a program is loaded into the computer, but according to our own desire and request. Then it reformats and organizes us so that in everything there is in us, in all the 620 elements and desires, we begin to feel the upper force that is operating within us. Gradually, this force fills us as if a progress bar is running on the computer indicating the percentage of the download and reaches 100%. Similarly, the thought of creation operates on us according to our efforts, and then it enters us. It means that we are getting filled with the Creator and adhere to Him. Are the efforts to adhere to the Creator personal work or work in the 10? The fact is that all personal work consists of integrating in the 10. Although it might take an entire lifetime or sometimes more than one lifetime. Look at how much humanity has been wandering until it finally understood that there is no choice and that it is necessary to work on connection. Indeed, otherwise we are incompatible with the nature of the earth and it will erase us from the planet. How much time, suffering, and work did it take to realize this? All the work before integrating into the group is just preparation for the real work. When I begin to integrate into it, the progress bar as if begins to move, which indicates the percentage of the program uploaded. To the extent that I integrate in the group, I make space for the thought of creation to enter and fill me. To the extent that I free space from myself and integrate in the 10, the thought of creation can fill my connection with the group, that is, the corrected Kli. This is how I get filled and come to similarity and adhesion with the Creator. This adhesion becomes increasingly stronger all the time. The work on adhesion with the Creator is possible only in the 10. In the past, that is, in the past degrees of humanity's development, this was not the case, and there were other ways to reach adhesion with the Creator. However, in our time, it is the only way. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 22nd of August 2019, there is none else besides Him. As if we put on glasses and begin to see. 2,000 years ago, the temple was destroyed and the people of Israel began their wanderings around the world. We got used to living in exile among other nations and often even succeeded in doing so. Sometimes, on the contrary, the nations of the world settled scores with us. Hatred of the Jews steadily grew, one wave rose after another, and recently a tsunami of anti-Semitism has been rising. The problem is that we are not correcting the shattering. Anti-Semitism is the result of our neglect of the possibility of achieving correction. The exile ended, but only in potential, not in practice. Many would dream of leaving the land of Israel and returning to exile. After all, holiness is only in the unity that we can build between us. Without unity, there is no holiness, and we are still in destruction. In fact, the destruction was a correction. You cannot call it corruption because there was still nothing corrected that could be corrupted. It was the shattering of the boundary between the receiving and bestowing desires, the boundary between the Creator and the created being, between the properties of the Creator and the created being. Therefore, it was only for the sake of correction. The desire to enjoy existed before the shattering, only it was hidden. After it was revealed, the created being could already begin to work on it and rise to the Creator. Each time the creature reveals its disparity with the Creator, which gives him the opportunity to correct this discrepancy and get closer to the Creator. This disparity already existed before, but now it has been revealed. That is, there is a revelation with respect to the created being, as if we put on glasses and begin to see the malfunction that we did not notice before. The destruction of the temple represents the merging of Bina with Malkhut. Therefore, there were two destructions, according to the two levels in the spiritual part Sufim, Dalit Gimel, 4/3, and Gimel Bet, 3/2. The first temple was destroyed at the level of Mohinder Haya, and the second, at the level of Mohinder Neshama. Therefore, the destruction of the first temple was much more powerful and significant. But the destruction of the second temple was more significant in that it meant a complete exit from spirituality. The first temple is a spiritual union in which all desires are combined together with the intention of bestowing to the Creator at the level of Mohinder Haya. There was a huge struggle between people and each one within himself for the sake of maintaining this unity and not falling. But egoism was steadily growing and in the end, the shattering did occur. The people of Israel went into exile, that is, there was a gap between the levels, the spiritual part Suf exhausted itself. After the exile, the people were returning to spirituality, building a new temple. The first temple is like Melchidhgt, Dat, Hesed, Gvura, Tiferet, and the second temple is Melchiknim, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malkhut. In the world of Nekudim, which were broken. The destruction of the second temple was already the final exit from spirituality, all went into intention for their own sake. Since then, the whole nation except for some special people, Kabbalists, entered the process of the continuous descent of generations. It is impossible to compare the generations that lived immediately after the destruction of the first or the second temple with our contemporaries. They felt a much greater connection with each other. holiness still illuminated them from afar, and the sparks from the destruction of the previous temple fell and made an impact. Therefore, there were still great people in those generations even after the destruction of the second temple. We see what great books they left for us, Mishnah and Talmud. Many were still in spiritual attainment. The fall did not happen instantly. The light was exiting the Partsuf gradually, until we were almost in total darkness by the time of the Ari. From the time of the Baal Shem Tov and onward, the awakening from below began. Baal Shem Tov did a great job reviving spirituality, and he was followed by Baal HaSulam. There were other Kabbalists who lived in the time between them. The last great Kabbalist of our time was Rabesh, who left us the whole method of correction that we use today. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 21st of July 2019, 9th of Av. New Life Number 1146. Delegitimizing the Nation of Israel.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Mitzvah Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the delegitimization of the State of Israel. We'd like to talk about more gladdening things, but we have to talk about this too. We'd like to understand, where is it headed? What can we do? Mitzvah, please. Yeah. Like you said, delegitimization, it's a painful subject that's been evolving, especially in the past decade. In the beginning of our way, there were those that voted in our favor, those that voted against, but eventually the majority were in favor of the establishment of the State of Israel. But since then, many things happen. And it's been going on for a long time now, but especially in the last decade, that it became really pressuring. The matter of undermining the entire existence of the State of Israel altogether. So, first of all, I don't think that there's any other country that its right to exist is being questioned. And the criticism against Israel, it's not that it's a legit kind of criticism about one or another kind of policy, but the question is altogether, do we need this state? So first of all, I'd like to understand this phenomenon where there's a country that's losing the justification for its existence. This is really interesting. I don't think that there's anything else in the world that its existence is being questioned. If it exists, it does, but no. Here there's a phenomenon that in every given moment, its existence, its right to exist, is being examined. So how could it be that there is something that exists, that its existence is being questioned? This is a problem that can be only in regard to the people, to the nation of Israel, to the State of Israel, because according to our foundation, we're not a nation. There is no such thing as the nation of Israel. It's a collection of all those nations that lived back then in ancient Babylon that gathered around Abraham, and he taught them the method of connection, of love covers for all crimes. And therefore, they connected and detached from Babylon and moved here. And we're familiar with the rest of history. So first of all, it's not a nation, it's not a people. Biologically wise, there's no such thing as the nation of Israel. Each nation comes from a common mother and father that evolved. Here, no. We consist of many bodies or small nations that inhabited Babylon, ancient Babylon, 3,500 years ago. And all in all, people, they answered Abraham's call that who wants to connect, because back then there was a big crisis in Babylon, hate and separation, and Abraham, as the Babylonian priest, he called out to his people and said, whoever thinks that the connection can save us, come to me. And people came to him, he was well known. And this is how he connected them. This is how he connected them, and this is how he led them, and this is how they became a nation. It's a spiritual nation. It's an ideological nation. This nation has an ideological root, not a corporeal one. It's not that they came from someone's seed and some woman's womb, but it's the idea of connection that was born and evolved, and the connection between different people that were willing to rise above their differences and to build some new kind of connection, a new people, meaning it's a nation, it's a people that are really brothers by spiritual law and not by corporeal law. Imagine that suppose we were to go to court. Then suppose two men would come from one side and say, we're brothers, we're from this and that family. And another two men would come and they'd say, we're from different, unrelated families that are even at war with one another, but we're brothers in spirit. Who'd accept them as brothers according to their spirit? But over time, where they really increased their connection, then really they became as a nation. Meaning their ideology made them into a nation, actually. Yes, but this ideology, and as long as this ideology existed until the destruction of the Second Temple, then everything was fine. It was for about 1500 years, more or less, and then it came to an end. Because the ideology simply broke. They didn't want to stay connected with one another. And it's interesting that it was even forbidden for them to get married with each other between the tribes. And it's all in order for there to be room for their ideological connection. Because of that, actually, that's interesting. I never heard this explanation, meaning they didn't look for blood ties in order for them to always have a reason to connect above their differences. Yes, and they took in women from outside the nation, from Moab, from Egypt, from other places. Moses' wife was from Midian. She was Jethro's daughter, and so on. It's really emphasized in the Torah that all the connections were, how to put it, on a very ideological level. And therefore, today, when we're talking about the identity of the people of Israel, we have no identity. We feel that we do not belong to each other because there's no ideology that connects us. So, Jews that live in the United States feel no connection to Israel. To the contrary, that it says that they're Jews or that others say that they're Jews only burdens them. They don't want to be related to Judaism or to the people of Israel or the state of Israel. And therefore, they're doing everything they can in order to move away and assimilate in the American nation, in this big mass, on the one hand. On the other hand, there is strong pressure from the outside. Meaning that to be a Jew means to be a suppressed person, means to be someone who's disregarded. So undoubtedly that without an inner ideology and with the external negative pressure, we ourselves are delegitimizing the nation of Israel. We don't need anyone to do it for us. We ourselves delegitimize it. because we're not building the ideological foundation that has to replace the biological foundation. And therefore, we do not exist, actually. We have no biological foundation to begin with. And therefore, any group or family that detaches from Israel, suppose leaves Israel to some place, they feel that it's fine, that this is their place, and everything's good. They feel no need for the nation of Israel, the state of Israel. If still they have some kind of religious signs, then okay, fine. So in a few generations, it'll also disappear. Because also in the rest of the world, it's kind of dissipating. And therefore, the Jews themselves, they're leading the delegitimization of the people of Israel and the state of Israel. So, returning to the question we started with, until now, the question was, how could it be that there is a country in the world that its existence is being questioned? It's not that it's being criticized. This is wrong, that's wrong. This happens with other countries too. But here there's a unique phenomenon, that there is a country that exists for decades and suddenly its existence is questioned. You talked about Jews around the world or in the United States. I understand the broad picture. Now I want to focus it on the state here. There's no state. There is. Soon it's going to be 80. The UN decided there is a state. And suddenly people are starting to talk about delegitimization. There's no such phenomenon in the world. There's no other country in the UN that people are questioning its existence. How do you explain this? Nationally and internationally. And one more thing. I'm less interested in the Jewish people that live around the world. What interests me is the state that exists for 70-something years, and suddenly its existence is being questioned. Why isn't Egypt or Russia or the United States delegitimized, or Iran? No other country. But about Israel, there is such a discussion. What's going on? The truth is that it's very simple. We are not a nation. There is no such nation as the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, because they exist if they're connected, the way Abraham, our patriarch, established it. Without the connection, we're not a people. We're a mixed multitude. It's like, I can't say that about gypsies because they have a culture of their own, education, history, and so on. There's no such example. Educated people, smart people, with a long history, but there's nothing that connects them. There isn't, besides hate. And this is the law of nature, that everyone hates them, were it not for this hate that all the time pressured them throughout the entire process, since the destruction of the temple and on, for 2,000 years, we would not exist. We'd dissipate, dissolve, disappear among the nations. Now, you're saying, okay, the Jewish people, let's put that aside. They're dispersed, they still don't know, there are so many opposite and opposed denominations, but the state itself. So I'm telling you again, what state? What country? There is no state of Israel. The state of Israel means that you exist as a nation on a certain piece of land and that you exist for a certain purpose. You, to begin with, by your root, you belong to a spiritual idea, to a spiritual root, to a spiritual goal. If you don't hold on to this, you're not a nation, you're not a people, you're not a country, you don't exist. And the nations of the world, they're saying, what's going on here? What is all of this about? It's something unclear that exists among us and gives us a hard time, makes problems, doesn't allow us to relax. we also feel that we depend on them, that they're doing different things, that they're going into science, money, the culture and education of every country. They become the best at it and so on and so forth. We don't need them. We don't. Anything that you do better than other nations, it simply irritates them. They don't want it. They have their own culture, their own attitude, approach. And who are you? How come you're interfering? You're not a part of the human race altogether. Maybe you came from some other planet. This is what they feel. There are really such theories that we came from some other gene, from some extraterrestrial DNA. So you have to understand people. We are not a nation because Abraham, our patriarch, arranged this nation artificially out of different parts of the Babylonian nation on condition that there'll exist a mutual love. And so a group called Israel, from the words Yashar Kel, meaning to be directed straight at the spiritual goal, was formed. It's something completely different than everyone else. And in order to build it in a special way, so it will be the source of connection for all nations, for this they detached from Babylon. They came together, their ego grew up to the point where their ego controlled them and that they had to correct it, meaning to connect on an even higher level. The ego that controlled them is called the Egyptian exile. The force that allowed them to rise above the growing ego is called Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And then they overcame this ego and built a new connection between them. This new mutual connection that they have built is called the temple. And what happened then? They couldn't uphold it. You can say that it was planned, it's an historic process, okay. But it was a nation that existed on its own piece of land. Afterwards, it fell. And really, they have a very unique history in this respect because it's a unique nation. So if it's not ideologically in control of itself, then others control it. That's how it was with the Egyptians, the Babylonians, with Nebuchadnezzar, and so on, until they reached such a breaking that it was the destruction of the temple. And then they became completely disconnected, detached from each other in terrible hatred, where they're not a nation or anything, meaning they've reached such separation between them that it was even worse than how it was in Babylon when Abraham arranged the connection between them. And here, there's no one to arrange the connection, so they dispersed among all nations, and the 10 tribes disappeared, and they divided, and they built Christianity and Islam, and also they went to the east and whatnot. But it was all in order to later on revive all their ties, connections, and bring mankind to connection. But in the meantime, there's no nation. And they've received a chance. Come back to the place where you used to exist and try to build a connection between you, the way it's supposed to be, where love covers for all crimes. Crimes we have, it's very clear. You have black, white, red, yellow, blue, we have everything. They're all different. You have of all kinds, species, everything. Now you have the opportunity, now that you've absorbed the cultures and habits of all nations, from all of the real Babylon of today, not like Babylon was back then, but really where people are very different, where there are big differences. Reunite once again into a group and try to do the same work that Abraham, our patriarch, did, which is connection. This is what you have to do. And then you'll start feeling Even now, what an essential and positive part in mankind you are, because all of mankind is helpless, doesn't know what to do. And now it's not like it used to be in the times of the Tower of Babel where they were in strife with one another and that they can disperse. Today they can't disperse. All those Babylonians, they spread around the entire world, and again, they're in such a state with one another that you can't imagine anything worse. It's really on the verge of a third world war. So now you can show them the method of connection. But in a way that you don't need them for it. Because if you connect, and this connection will exist in you, then automatically it will influence them too. They will also connect. Furthermore, they'll start supporting you because they'll acknowledge, and you'll see, they'll acknowledge that you're connecting and that this connection is to their benefit. It's not that you're connecting and that you want to be great. No. But that your connection is in order to bring them to connection and to really rise from the degree of this ignoble world to the spiritual world. And then, by that, you really reach a state where you delegitimize today's Israel and build the true Israel, which is Yashar Kel, meaning those that are aimed straight at the spiritual goal. I watched this video made by the supporters of Israel, and they actually presented the story and they said, look, when you were weak and suppressed after the Holocaust, there were a few of you left. So there was some kind of sympathy towards you, and a few countries said, okay, take that country. And over time, you turned from a small David to a big Goliath. You're the conquerors, you're the strong. This is actually what delegitimizes you. Since then, we didn't conquer anything. But what about 67? We gave Sinai back? We didn't conquer anything. There was the Turkish mandate here, the English mandate. We didn't conquer some country. But there were Bedouins that lived here. So, we came into this place too. You can't say that we conquered the Arabs that lived here. Of course, during times of war, you do what you have to do. But actually, there's no conquering of a country by another country here. Yeah, maybe there is really the conquering of a population that came to power, kind of. Suppose. Okay, now, why did I tell you about this? Because the delegitimization, the way it's perceived in the world today, it says something very simple. You are criminals of war. You became a violent nation, and this is the reason for which we think that you do not deserve a country. All the arguments that are sounded today, everywhere, in the universities and in general, now there is a tremendous wave of campaigns of the BDS that comes and delegitimizes, saying that you're criminals of war. You don't deserve it. You're doing something that isn't legitimate. And therefore, we're boycotting you. It's not that I agree to what they're doing, but I understand it, I accept it, because there's no choice. But I'm saying that whatever work we will do against the BDS and all of these different kinds of organizations, it's a waste, meaning it won't help. It's not a matter of explanation. It won't help in any way, but to the contrary, they'll feel that what they're doing is right, that we're against them, and therefore they're right because we're against them. It gives them even greater strength to be against us. That if, for example, you see an enemy that doesn't even awaken, you're against them and your enemy doesn't even identify you. It's as if he disrespects you, he erases you. But this isn't the case. We're against the BDS and everything. Why? Why do we have to take part in it? I think they're right. Right in what? It's not that I support them. They're right in that we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reach a state where we in practice show how we are the center of mankind, the ideological center of mankind, the educational center of mankind, the center that saves mankind. And we don't have to prove it to them, but we have to prove it by building ourselves. Meaning that whether Israel is legitimate or not, it depends only on us. We're not dependent on them in this at all. Like in the rest of the correction of the world, we're not dependent on them. We don't have to go out to them and correct them. We have to correct ourselves. And then these forces of correction will spread from us to them and will correct them. Because to begin with, we're already included of them. We're a result of all of those nations of the world. Were you to start a campaign now, according to what you just explained, a campaign that's to whom? To the people of Israel or to everyone? Also an interesting question. There's the BDS campaign, and they're working. They have success. In parallel to that, you'd like to create a campaign that says, wait a moment, we want to say something. What would you say to the world, to the people of Israel, in this campaign that is as if against the BDS, so to speak? I'd explain to them what I explained here, that the entire world has no choice. They're in a very dangerous descent. I'd even say free fall. Very dangerous free fall into an abyss, the entire world. And we see that this is the situation with ecology and everything, the financial system, everything. And the thing that can help us is that we, mankind, as the upper layer, the upper part of the still vegetative, animate, and the human level, we have to adjust ourselves to nature, to this great big circle, to the great global integral nature. And this is the true ecology. And this is what we have to do. And we know how to do it. It is by love covers for all crimes. And we're the ones that have to do it. The people of Israel, the Jewish people, mankind can't do it. But we, as parts of those nations that came together in the past, we have to do it. And when we will do it, then this force will spread to all of mankind. You don't have to do anything. I'm saying this to mankind. I'm turning to the Jewish people. You have to do it. We have to do this. We have to make the connection between us above all of our crimes, because everything that exists between us, this strife that's going on between us, we absorb the mutual hatred from all of mankind. And in us, it becomes our mutual hatred. Let's rise above this. Let's make peace. Let's reach tranquility, connection. Let's establish education for connection. And then the entire world will calm down and will elevate all of mankind to a different level of love and connection called the spiritual world. Last question. Then when will the state of Israel receive legitimacy? Only after we will explain what we're doing and especially start realizing it. And in order to realize it, we don't need anyone but ourselves. So the state of Israel will receive legitimacy when? When the Jewish people, the people of Israel, will start working on their connection above all crimes. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.